it's amazing the span of these two readings. One is talking about the living action of the Holy Spirit within us. The other is talking about eternal damnation. How much does God want us to be saved? I mean, he inspires us to come here to hear the word, to feed on the body and blood of Jesus, so that we won't be hardened of heart and unable to turn to him and repent. But first, we'll look for a little bit at this Romans 8, which, as I've already told you, that's sort of... After this comes 9, 10, and 11, which is all about the future of the Jewish people. And then 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, we'll tune in and we'll look at that when we get there. The Holy Spirit prays in us. The secret of prayer is to yield to that movement. That's the secret of prayer. Now, that doesn't mean that we just coast. It takes a lot of effort to get in step with the Holy Spirit. And so, you see, we know that all things work for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose, you see. Because we don't know how to pray as we ought. That's the way he starts. We don't know anything about prayer. Prayer is a conversation with God. Are you good at that? Probably not. I'm not. But the Spirit intercedes with inexpressible groanings. The Holy Spirit is always working in us to move us to the Father. So prayer, in many ways, is getting in step with the Holy Spirit. And that, if you've ever read, and I hope you do, some of the great teachers of the mystical life, Teresa of Avila, John of the Cross, people like that, and the ones who comment on them. Why? So that we hunger and thirst for the right thing. I joined the monastery, I was 20. And the novice master gave me a book, The Living Flame of Love, by John of the Cross. Now, he didn't look at me and say, there's a mystic. But I mean, he was smarter than that. I think the Lord had him do that so that I would understand what life is all about. What is life? Why are we created? To know him, to love him, to serve him, and be happy with him forever. Well, then we better know him, love him, and serve him so we can get to the fourth one, right? And the key to that is prayer. Prayer. Now, when we pray, when we start to pray, you see, we don't really know what we're doing, which is fine. But little by little, the Holy Spirit will move in us, and prayer becomes more and more a yielding to the Holy Spirit. And then we had a great fellow come, a Franciscan. I mentioned him before, Marius McAuliffe, an Irish Franciscan, and a very great mystic. And he said one day in one of the retreats, he said, you know, people think mystical prayer, you've got to watch it, you'll get proud. He said, there's nothing more humiliating in life than to just be there and have the Holy Spirit praying in you and knowing, you know, you've got very little to do with this. It was a very insightful remark. See, the Spirit himself intercedes with inexpressible groanings. Now, what does he do? He takes the prayer of Jesus before the throne of God the Father and puts it into our hearts. That's why Paul sums up this action by saying, we pray, Abba, Father. You see? So Marius was called in because there was, she's dead now, this woman in Virginia, reckoned to be a very holy and mystical woman. And the bishop said, oh, you know, I wonder about this, you know. So he called in an expert. The bishop should have been an expert, right? He's the bishop. Anyway, And he talked to him for, he talked to this woman, Marius, for a while, and he came out. I've told you all this before, haven't I? And they say, well, what do you think? What do you think? And he said, it's genuine. How do you know? Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's the sign. Love, peace, joy. Isn't that the sign of the Holy Spirit? No matter what else is going on. And so he intercedes for us. What does he do? Our Lord Jesus Christ is always living to make intercession for us, it says right in 8:28 and in that area in this text. And the Holy Spirit takes that intercession of Jesus and puts it into our heart so that we pray. And the heart of that is to pray the way Jesus prays, which is Abba, Father. To have such a deep love, trust, affection in his human heart for the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, you see. And so, because God wants, I've got to save enough time to talk about hell for a minute. But anyway, you cannot skip a gospel because it's, you know, you can't do that. Anyway, you see, it says in, I think it's 8:28, that Jesus is interceding, right? So what does the Spirit do? He takes that intercession of Jesus and puts it into our heart. So that when we're praying and all of a sudden we want to pray and lift the evil from this world and save the children who are being aborted and all, that's Christ, the Lord Christ, praying in us by the action of the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so important to obey him, because he wants to clear out the junk so the Holy Spirit can come and have a free hand putting that prayer in us. And the heart of it is what Jesus always says, Abba. That's the heart of it. When they said, you know, Lord, teach us how to pray. In the Lucan form, it says, this is how you pray. Abba. Yitkadesh shemak, tete makultak, and so forth. Abba, that's how you pray. You love God the Father. You're overwhelmed with his love and affection and power and mercy, and you say Abba, because the Holy Spirit is saying it. Okay. And that's what's going on as he works out our life and our future. And the art is to yield to him. Now, someone asked him, will only a few people be saved? This is serious. Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. That's not a good translation. Will not be able, but it's okay. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then you will stand outside knocking and saying, Lord, open the door for us. He will say to you in reply, I do not know where you're from. And then, well, we ate and drank with you. We listened to your sermons. When I tell you, you see, I don't know where you're from. That's frightening, isn't it? That's frightening. But it should inspire us to pray. So let that Holy Spirit, you know, look at these saints, for heaven's sake. Look at Therese, for instance. You know, or Faustina. Their whole life is consumed in prayer for mercy for the world. And it costs them. It costs them. Because there is a hell. And as you watch our poor nation get more and more corrupt, I mean, I've told you this before. Chesterton used to say of the United States, you know, it's a nation with the soul of a church. And especially out in the Midwest, all those delightful evangelicals praying all the time. Remember when those three tornadoes hit Colorado, I think it was, right? Oklahoma. And they were interviewing people. The nearest town was an old-fashioned evangelical town. What do you think of this? You know, oh, it's terrible. I don't know how I'm going to get my insurance. No, they were saying, this is a mystery of God. We don't know why, but we trust God. And that's what they were saying. So we pray and we act. But one of the great gangrene in our culture, which is the source of so much disappointing corruption, is abortion. That's the gangrene that's eating at us. And so, you know, I'm just praying, I'm not the only one, of course, that at the next election we can clean out that Senate and House. They're all clowns. And get some, you know, think of the statesmen we used to have. You know, John Foster Dulles, people like that. What was the other one? Avery Stevenson, was it? Adlai Stevenson. We had men of quality, of intelligence, and of great moral rectitude. Well, I don't have to depress you anymore, but our job, we are called here to feed on the Word of God, to hear this teaching today of Paul. See, there couldn't be a greater contrast. Huh? Paul is telling us, God himself is praying in us. And Jesus is saying, look out, not only for yourselves, but for everybody else. Sing along with Mitch. I was thinking this morning, I don't know how many people, you know, young women who are going to have abortions, and I talked them out of it and I prayed with them and they named their child Francis. So now I'm thinking, I don't know how many Francises there are around that I'm responsible for. But I'm going to remind the Lord of that because that's important.